Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joe Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Mazaluski, Fellowship of the Spirit. Are we having issues with the microphone? It's okay? Okay, good. Well, if you can, open up his mic so we can get started.
Brother Paul, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Amen. Now we can hear.
I'd like to say happy first day of the week to everybody today. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God. Happy Sunday to all those that go by the Gregorian calendar. Happy first day of the week to everyone. Brother Paul from the Fellowship of the Spirit here, along with our reader, Brother Jeremiah, Brother Jeremy from the Fellowship of the Spirit. And today's we are going to start a series on love. We're going to start a series on love. But before we get into this, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. All you brothers, please remove your covers. And all of you sisters, please, if you would, cover your heads. And we'll face to the east or to the temple in Jerusalem. Oh, great and merciful God, Heavenly Father, great God of Israel, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord. We gather in your name. And Father, we just ask as always that you keep your hedge about all your saints and keep your love and your protection about them as they travel to and from convocations and as they travel to and from sitting together and reading your word and teaching others about you. Father God, we ask that you keep your hedge about them. And then, as always, we ask as we gather on Sunday nights that you open our eyes and our ears, Lord, and that at the very least you edify us, Father, that you give us what you would have us see and hear. And as always, we ask all this in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, sisters and brothers, welcome once again to the Sound of Living Waters radio show. I'm Brother Paul from Fellowship of the Spirit, and we're going to start a series tonight on love. We're going to start a series on love, and what we're going to do first tonight is we are going to have a precept or a lesson on the love of God, the love of God. And then next week, for as many weeks as it takes, we are going to break down the spectrum of love in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, what is commonly known as the love chapter. And it has 9 ingredients, and we're going to break these 9 ingredients down next week, which are patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. And we're going to take the time starting next week to break each and every one of those down right along with 1 Corinthians 13. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves down the road, that will be God willing. Today we have something in front of us called the love of God. You can't talk about love in the Bible without first talking about the love of God. Because if it wasn't for his love toward us, we wouldn't even be sitting here. When we sinned, we would have died, and that would have been the end of that. Each generation would have come along, they would have sinned, they would have died, and it would have just been one mass production of sinners dying if it wasn't for the love of God. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to explore the love of God in the scriptures, and we're going to start this off, brother, in John, the third chapter. John, the third chapter. And Brother Jeremy, if you'll read one verse to start this lesson off, brother, I'd appreciate that. John 3:16. Go ahead, brother.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. That's love. And that's the beginning. That's the tip of the iceberg of the love of God. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter, and see if we can explain what we just read here in John 3. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5. We're going to let our beloved brother Paul, the disciple, the apostle, not me. I'm not a beloved brother. I'm just a brother. Romans 5, our beloved brother Paul, the disciple, is going to explain what we just read in John 3:16. Romans 5, brother, let's pick this up in verse 1. 5:1, go ahead.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, being justified by faith, faith is belief. Whosoever believeth in Jesus shall be saved. And we're justified by that belief, by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
And this grace wherein we stand, this is nothing more than a free gift. Grace is a free gift. It's like going to work in the morning. You got to clock in at 7, but the boss gives you till 10 after. And if you clock in at 9:59 after, you get credit for being there 9:59 earlier. You got that grace period. It's the same thing with the Lord. Grace. It's just a free gift. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works for patience.
Uh-huh.
And patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, all these things that we glory in tribulations, knowing tribulation, work patience, experience hope, they're just life. It's life, sisters and brothers. And through that life, the Lord refines us as we serve him, and we suffer temptation, and we suffer persecution, and we do what's pleasing in his sight. All these things help try to make us perfect as we strive to be perfect before him. And we're not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God. We're going to see that the love of God is his commandments. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
And we were all ungodly when Christ died for us, because when we sinned, we should have died. That made us ungodly. That made us unclean. The only way to become godly or to become clean again is through the shed blood of our Messiah and faith in that shed blood. And faith is belief. And if you believe, you either become obedient to his word or you deny him. There's no in between. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, for adventure for a good man, some would even dare to die.
Uh-huh.
But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't even have the choice to either serve him yet or not serve him yet. We were just flat out sinners with no knowledge. That's that grace. Christ died for us. And our Heavenly Father in his infinite wisdom has given us all the opportunity to come back to him. That's that grace and mercy. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Uh-huh.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of Jesus. Much more, now that we're reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Notice as a side note, it doesn't say we are saved. It says we shall be. Skip to 15 and continue, brother.
Did you not want me to read 11?
You know what? Yes, that's my one mistake for today. Good catch. Go ahead, brother.
And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Because we shall be saved by his life, and we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, because of Jesus we've received that atonement, and we've been reconciled to the Father. That wrath has been taken away. Skip to 15 and continue, brother.
But not as the offense, so also is the free gift.
The free gift, that grace, that mercy. Go ahead, brother.
For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many.
That shed blood of Jesus Christ is that free gift, that free atoning sacrifice for all the sins of the world. If we choose to have our sins covered by his blood instead of ours. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 16, and not as it was by one. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. But the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justice.
So we have Adam sinned, and because of Adam's sin, all mankind was brought under that death sentence. By one that sinned. And by one, for the judgment was by one, the condemnation by Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And we're going to see it's by one also. But many offenses unto justification. Not all offenses. Jesus didn't just come and die and throw sin out of the world. Sin is still in the world. That death sentence is still over our heads. Are we going to allow him to pay the price, or are we going to pay the price with our own blood? That's the choice we have to make. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 17.
Yes, sir.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered.
Did you skip verse 16, brother? I think you might have.
Oh, yeah. Know ye not.
Verse 16.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield...
Verse 16?
I'm in verse 16.
Am I in the wrong spot here, 5 and 16?
Oh, no, I was going to say...
That's okay, brother. Go ahead.
And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift.
And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Go ahead.
For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification.
Go ahead.
For if by one man's offense death resigned by one... Much more than which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
So you have one man's sin brought death unto the world, and you've got one man's righteousness is giving you the opportunity back to the tree of life, and that's our Messiah. Go ahead, brother.
Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one free gift came upon all men of the justification of life.
That free gift, that grace... came upon all men unto justification of life. But all offenses aren't being taken away. Many offenses. You have to place your sins under that shed blood. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. One more verse, 21, brother. Go ahead.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto the eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
So that as sin hath reigned unto death, that death sentence, that when we sin, blood had to be shed, even so my grace reigned through righteousness, Christ Jesus, unto eternal life. And it's by Jesus Christ our Lord. He was perfect. He was that perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And brother, let's pick this right up in verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Go ahead.
And you have to be quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins.
And quickened means to be made alive. To be made alive. We've been made alive. Our Heavenly Father has allowed us to be made alive through the shed blood of Christ Jesus, through his death and his resurrection. And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Go ahead, brother.
Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
So we were all sinners, even those of us that, if you're listening and you've been raised in the Word, somewhere along the line you have sinned and grace and mercy has been bestowed upon you because you should have died the day you sinned. All of us, every one of us, had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were the children of wrath. But what happened, brother? Verse 4.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us,
even
when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
By grace ye are saved. There's no amount of work you can do, sisters and brothers, to make it into the kingdom. It's grace and mercy. We understand that, but we get persecuted. They call us legalists because we keep the law. But we're going to see as we continue to read today that the Lord says that those were the works that were from the foundation of the world that we were supposed to walk in anyway. But when we sinned, we turned away from the standard that we were supposed to live by. And it was by grace and mercy we're given the opportunity to come back and have a right at the tree of life. We're not saved just because we believe. There's works that have to be done. We understand that. But it's by his grace and mercy we're given the opportunity to understand what it is that needs to be done, the conduct that needs to happen to get that right back to the tree of life. Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 6.
Yes, sir.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom and in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
That in the ages to come, right now, he's raised us up together and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in the book of life, and that's seated in heaven right now. Our names are in the book of life. He told the disciples not to rejoice because they could cast out demons, but rather rejoice because their names are written in the book of life in heaven. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, that price has been paid. And at the appointed time, everyone is going to get the reward at the same time together in the ages to come. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 7. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Verse 8.
Yes, sir.
For by grace are ye saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
It's not of yourselves. You don't have nothing to do with it. You don't have a say whether you're going in the fire or whether you're going in the right side of the kingdom. You got nothing to say about it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and it's a gift of God. It's nothing to do with you. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast.
You can't Sabbath keep your way into the kingdom. You can't do it. The only way that you can work your way into the kingdom is if you're a law unto yourself because you don't know the law, but you're loving and caring and kind. That's the only way you can work your way into the kingdom. According to what I can read, those that don't know the law but keep the law are law unto themselves. And that's not talking about Christmas trees and Easter eggs. That's talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them.
Which God hath before ordained should walk in them. That's what got us in trouble to begin with, is turning away from what the Lord ordained that we should walk in. Let's go to 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter, the third chapter. What we're reading about here, sisters and brothers, is God's love, that grace and mercy. That's just like our father, our earthly father or our earthly mother, that we should just take one heck of a backside whooping. And for whatever reason, we know we should take that whooping. They come in to whoop us, and instead they just give us a big hug and talk. Man, I love you so much. Please stop acting up so I don't have to whoop you. That's grace and mercy. That's what our Heavenly Father is trying to do for us, sisters and brothers. That's what he's trying to do for us. 2 Peter 3 and 1 verse, brother. 3 and 9. Go ahead.
2 Peter 3.
Yes, sir. In verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. To usward, sorry.
Go ahead.
Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
But that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want to kill any of us. But, like we read in Romans 5, not to all sins. It's to many offenses. There's going to be some that have to fulfill prophecy, but God doesn't want that to happen because he loves each and every one of us, and he's given us the opportunity to come back to him, that grace and that mercy, given us the opportunity to earnestly seek his face by reading his written word to find out how he wants us to be pleasing in his sight, how we should conduct ourselves in all situations. This is the love of God. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Now, we're going to be dealing with this quite a bit in the next couple of weeks. But, sisters and brothers, we can't get by with the love of God without reading it. 1 Corinthians 13, brother, and just pick it up at verse 1. Let's read this chapter. When you get the opportunity, go ahead.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels,
uh-huh.
If I'm not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove a mountain, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
Uh-huh.
Charity suffereth long and is kind.
Charity suffereth long. That's patience. And it's kind. That's kindness. Go ahead, brother.
Charity envieth not. Charity
envieth not. That's generosity. Go ahead, brother.
Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up.
It vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up. That's humility. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 5. Does not behave itself unseemly.
That's courtesy. Go ahead, brother.
Seeketh not her own.
That's unselfishness. Go ahead, brother.
Is not easily provoked.
That's good temper. Go ahead, brother.
Thinketh no evil.
Guilelessness. Go ahead, brother.
Kind of sounds like the fruit of the Spirit.
Doesn't it? Go ahead, brother.
Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
It's sincerity. Sincerity. And like Brother Jeremy just said, kind of sounds like the fruits of the Spirit. The Lord brings you them fruits of the Spirit so many different ways. All you got to do is know how to rightly divide this book. Go ahead, brother. Read the rest of that chapter.
Verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth in all things, endureth all things.
Uh-huh.
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away.
When that which is perfect is come, then that which is done in part shall be done away. When Jesus returns. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childhood.
In other words, when you get understanding, you put away the things that were silly that the Lord winked at as you were gaining understanding and you were coming into his word. Go ahead, brother.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
Uh-huh.
And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Right now I see through a glass darkly, but at the appointed time, face to face. Right now I know in part, but at the appointed time, I'm going to know even as I am known by God. I'm going to know exactly what I'm all about. I'm going to know exactly if the Lord's going to have mercy and he's going to take all that shame and all that guilt and everything away from me and he's going to lift me up and he's going to put me in that first resurrection or he's going to put me in that fire. And it's all depending upon my works here now under the sun. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of faith and hope and charity is charity. Faith is our belief, which is obedience. Hope is the reason we have our faith and we walk in it. And the greatest of all these three is love, because it covers a multitude of sins, sisters and brothers. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter. We'll deal with the love chapter in the next couple of weeks to come. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7.
You know, I don't know why that's so crazy, but it's kind of like the Spirit all become love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The fruits of the Spirit are all about love. Jesus didn't bring nothing new when he came preaching love. He didn't bring nothing new. Everything he brought was from the law. Law, Torah, first five books of Moses, whatever you want to call it. Deuteronomy 7, let's take a look at this here. Deuteronomy 7, let's just read a couple of verses, 9 and 10. 7 and verse 9, brother, go ahead.
Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to the thousand generations.
Look at this, what the Lord does. He keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. Go ahead.
And repayeth them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face.
So the Lord's going to keep covenant and mercy to those that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. But those that he hates, those that hate him by not keeping his commandments, he's going to destroy them. Let's go to Matthew, the seventh chapter. Matthew, the seventh chapter. There's a lot of people out there that are walking this walk, whether it's in truth or they're walking the walk. They think they have truth. They think they're walking in light. These scriptures right here ought to really put some light on the spirit or attitude you should have if you think you've already made it. You think that Jesus has come and fulfilled everything, that the law has been done away with. Matthew 7, let's pick it up at verse 20. 7 and verse 20. Go ahead, brother.
Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them.
By their fruits you shall know them. Know who? Know everybody. By your works, by your fruits, just like a tree. What kind of tree is that? I don't know. Let's wait until the spring comes and see what kind of fruit it bears. Oh, that's a peach tree. That's an apple. That's an orange. That's a plum. Is that a servant of God? No, it can't be. How do you know? Look at his works. Look at the way he conducts himself. Is that a servant of God? Absolutely. How do you know? Look at his works. Look at the way he conducts himself. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
We are we're living in faith, or by faith, because of grace and mercy. We should have died when we sinned, but that death sentence has been commuted long enough to give us the opportunity to make a choice whether or not we want to fear and serve this mighty God that created us. And it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Grace and mercy have given you an opportunity to prove what is pleasing in the sight of God. Why won't you prove this? You get a new house, you go through the fine print, you get a lawyer to go over the fine print. You buy a car, you go over to fine print, man, you want to make sure that the interest and everything's straight. Everything you do in life that has some kind of consequence that could be favorable or unfavorable to you, that's within your control, you prove it out beyond a shadow of a doubt. When it's got to do for your family and your children, the school they go to, the clothes they wear, the things they sleep, the bed they sleep on, with young infants, child safety seats and all that, you prove it out, man, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no doubt what you're doing is right and good for your family. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You better start proving out what is the will of that Father that is in heaven. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Let's continue. I think you might have skipped the verse there, but that's all right. Let's go to John, the fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter. I'm talking way too much today. John 5. John 5. And, brother, let's pick this up at verse 37. John 5 and verse 37. When you get there, go ahead.
And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape.
So we know that Jesus is that prophet like unto Moses, that he's the one that declares the glory of the Father, and that it's him, that's the prophet, that we're responsible to listen to. And we either listen to him and be rewarded, or we don't and we get punished at that appointed time, that lake of fire. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 40.
Verse 40. Where you at, brother?
I'm sorry, verse 38.
Yes, sir.
And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent.
Have you believed not? Talking about himself. Go ahead, brother.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of you.
Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And it is the scriptures that testify of Christ. Go ahead, brother.
And you will not come to me, that you might have life.
How come you won't come to him? Because you won't search the scriptures. Because it's the scriptures that testify of him. The scriptures tell you everything that he did and everything that he intends to do. And it's by everything that he did that his disciples knew he was the Messiah, because it mirrored the scriptures, because they testify of Christ. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 41, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you.
He says, I don't receive honor from men, but I know you don't have the love of God in you. How come? Go ahead.
I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will ye receive.
Because Jesus says, I've come in my Father's name, and you don't receive me. I'm bringing you everything you need to make it into the kingdom so we can come down here on earth and live with you and reign with you forever. But if another one comes in his own name, oh, you're quick to receive him. Sisters and brothers, that's called false doctrine when they come in their own name. Let's go to John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter. That's why Paul said, man, I'm glad I haven't hardly baptized any of you, man. I'm not bringing my own doctrine. You ain't going to say that you're Paul's disciples. John, the 14th chapter. Let's pick it up at verse 13, brother. 14 and 13. We have to stay in God's love, and there's only one way to do this, sisters and brothers. John 14 and 13. Go ahead.
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Uh-huh.
And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Jesus says, anything that you ask in my name, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it because it's going to glorify the Father. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But it's contingent upon something. Go ahead, brother.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my commandments. And then what you going to do?
Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter, one that's going to abide with you forever. Skip to 21 and continue, brother.
Even the Spirit of truth whom the world...
21.
Oh, I'm sorry. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that love me.
He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that love me. And then what happens?
And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father.
And if you love Jesus, you're going to be loved of the Father. Go ahead.
And I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
And Jesus is going to love you and he's going to make himself known to you. Go ahead, brother.
Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and unto the world?
Uh-huh.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Now, sisters, brothers, that grace, that mercy, that free gift, that was the love of God. When we sinned, we should have died, and we didn't. And he gave us enough of a opportunity to come to him, to understand his standard and to walk straight. And I know not everyone's going to be given the opportunity of the first resurrection, but everyone is given an opportunity to come to that tree of life, even if it be the second resurrection. Jesus is the one, and the Heavenly Father is the one that looks into the hearts. We don't. We don't know why he's got people the way he's got them. We don't know why we could take a Sunday Christian, and I don't use that term loosely. I'm talking about one that worships on Sunday. And you can show that person that the Sabbath is the seventh day using 200 scriptures. And, I mean, it's so plain as day that you just know he's got this. I mean, you've got 5- and 6-year-olds that understand this at the classes. And for whatever reason, he just can't see that. Why? Because God looks into the heart. Maybe he's shutting his own eyes, or maybe God's got him right where he wants him because he's just so loving and kind, and he's got all this money that he's always just dishing out to the needy. Who knows why? But God thinks higher than we think. His ways are higher than our ways. It's just like in Jeremiah, where he told Jeremiah not even to pray for these people. He wasn't talking for all people. He was talking about that group of sinners in particular at that particular time. We're supposed to be praying for everybody that the Lord open up their eyes and their ears and their hearts. If you feel that the Lord is telling you not to pray for somebody, he better be coming down here sitting on the bed when you're laying there going, hey, I'm right here and I'm telling you not to pray for them people. Because you can read all over the book the Lord says to love your neighbor, even love your enemy. Because in loving your enemy, you heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, you make them guilty and you make them turn to God. Your enemy's always railing and ragging on you, whatever. Your next door neighbor got nothing good to say to you, always cussing at your kids or whatever. And you got an opportunity to go over and help him and make a difference in his grievous life. And being kind and caring and loving. And he's looking at you like, oh my goodness. And he might even, God forgive me, and turn to the truth. But it's all about love. It's all about grace. It's all about mercy. It's not about our works. Our works got nothing to do with nothing, sisters and brothers. And when we take hold of that covenant, God shows his love toward us. And like Jesus says, it shows that we love them. And when we show through the keeping of the covenant that we love our Heavenly Father and our Messiah, that they love us back. And that's where some scriptures say that the love of God is perfected, and we're going to read that in a minute. Tell us where you're at, and go ahead, brother.
I lost my spot. I finished.
Did you finish 24?
Yeah.
I don't think you finished 24, did you?
Yeah.
You want to read it again for me, please?
Yeah. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me.
So he's saying if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. And he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. He's saying that the word that you hear, it's not mine. He's saying that word's not mine, it's the Father's which sent me. That's just like I say, man, I got no reward for you. This word's not mine. The Father gave it to me through our Messiah, Christ Jesus, because he's the one that had it written in this book. Let's go to Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew, the 19th chapter. And when I get into the love of God, I hope I don't turn this into a 4-hour lesson. Matthew, the 19th chapter. Jeremy, I know you don't feel well, brother. We're going to get through this here shortly. Matthew 19, let's pick it up at verse 16. 19 and 16. Go ahead, brother.
And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
What good thing shall I do that I might live with you forever? Go ahead.
And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.
Uh-huh.
If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And now this guy's going to try to trip up our Messiah. Go ahead, brother.
He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Skip to 29 and continue, brother.
29?
Yes, sir.
And everyone that hath forsaken houses of brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children, or lambs, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life.
And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. That just means not listening to those people when they're bringing you something contrary to God. Don't listen to that foolishness. You got to understand it, and you know the walk. You hear the shepherd because you're his sheep and you know his voice. You don't listen to anyone else. You don't come with any other false folly doctrine or anything like that. John the 15th chapter. Go to John the 15th chapter. How many times December rolls around, no matter how long you're in the Word, and the relatives start pulling at the heartstrings? Oh, come on, man. We haven't seen you in so long. No. No. Keep calling me like this month. I'm not going to answer my phone. I'm not coming to your Christmas party. Leave me alone. Of course, we do it with meekness and humility. At least I pray we do. John 15, brother, let's pick it up at verse 8. 15 and 8. Go ahead, bro.
Herein is my Father be glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
Uh-huh.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye my love.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. The Father gave the word to Jesus. He was obedient in that word, and he's carrying the message to us. And then Jesus even went as far as to tell us that we're going to do greater works than him, because he's going. And he's seated in heaven now, and we're here. We're here to do the work. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
Yes, sir. One more verse.
If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
If ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. When did you start abiding in the love of our God? The day you sinned. Before you sinned. He has loved you before you sinned. And when you sinned, he loved you so much that he bestowed his grace and mercy on you. That's love, sisters and brothers. And there's some people, they just look at us sideways, man, and the next time we see them, we're ready to give them some peace of our mind. Can you imagine having the whole creation turn on you to the point you're going to drown everybody? To the point you bring your people out of bondage and you're going to kill them all and make a new nation out of one man? And we can't take a little sideways glance sometimes. Let's go to 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. And, brother, let's pick it up in verse 1. 1 John 2 and verse 1. Go ahead.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
My little children, all over this book, the Lord is always dropping us little hints. He's always throwing little things at us. My little children, he's addressing us as children, because he said that unless you come to him as a child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You got to go in as a child. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, transgress the law, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our go-between. He's our lawyer with the great judge, our heavenly Father. Go ahead, brother.
And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
And he is the propitiation or the sacrifices for the sins of the whole world. But only those that choose to place their sins under his shed blood will be justified. Go ahead, brother.
And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
And we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, if you want to abide in my love, keep the commandments. And the book says that the commandments are the covenant. And the Lord said that he keeps covenant and mercy with those that fear him and keep his commandments. Go ahead and continue, brother.
verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Oh, that's a tough spot to be in there. Go ahead, brother.
But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected.
Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Because God's love is about those Ten Commandments. His grace and his mercy was to get us to the point where we start keeping those commandments so we can cover a multitude of sins. Because he doesn't want any to perish. He loves each and every one of us, and he wants us all to make the kingdom. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked.
And Christian means to be Christ-like. That's why those of us that have understanding, we try to mimic Jesus with our life. We try to. Yes, we fall miserably short, but the Lord even had that covered in his perfect walk. A righteous man falleth 7 times and gets back up again. Skip to 15 and continue, brother.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Lord, of the Father, is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. What does it mean to love the world and the things in the world? It means to put them first before the things that God wants you to deal with. The Sabbath day, but the boss said, man, you can get double time tomorrow, and you say, the Lord will understand. You go work that double time. Love not the things of the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't have one foot in the world and one foot on a banana peel. Keep them treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt it. Enjoy the things of this world, but never put anything before God and his commandments, statutes, judgments, and laws. Let's go to John, the 17th chapter. John, the 17th chapter. John 17.
I almost did
too. John 17. Let's take a look at Jesus. Let's take a look at how he prayed. John 17 and verse 1, brother. Go ahead.
These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
I did a lesson call that's all about the Father, because we don't realize sometimes that it's all about the Father. We're trying to please him. We're trying to be reconciled to our Heavenly Father, not to our Messiah. Our Messiah is that reconciling. His shed blood and his resurrection from the dead is what reconciles us to our Heavenly Father. It's all about pleasing our Father God. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory of God, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Because a lot of people don't understand, because they don't know Jesus, that Jesus was the only God that men ever dealt with. He came through Mary and became flesh and walked perfect in that flesh for 33 and a half years without sin. Completely without sin. To be that perfect sacrifice. He was God, he is God, and he is God again. And so he's praying to our Heavenly Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. It said they took sweet counsel together when they walked in the mountain of God to determine how to save mankind. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word.
And he's talking about his 12 disciples. Go ahead, brother.
Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are thee, are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come from thee, that I come out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me.
I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Go ahead.
For they are thine.
For they are thine. So he's not praying for the world. He's praying for his disciples. But guess what? Skip the 20 and continue, brother.
Neither pray I for thee alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
He says, I'm not just praying for these disciples either, Father. I'm praying for any of those that through their words will believe on us. And we're reading their words right now. Go ahead, brother.
That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me.
Uh-huh.
And I in thee. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
That we might be one in the Father and in Jesus, and the Father and Jesus are in us, and we're in them and everything, so the world might believe that the Father had sent Jesus. Because it's by our obedience to those commandments that we become Christ-like or mimic the life of our Messiah. And in doing that, we are drawing others to him, because now we are becoming just like him in our walk. We are showing through our behavior how it is we're supposed to take hold of that standard. And in doing that, we show all the peace and all the comfort and all the protection that God puts upon us. Even when things aren't going right and it seems like everything should be falling apart, we think sanely and soberly, and we're able to address the situation no matter how grievous and how crazy it might be, because God is our strength and we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. And you can tell who's really doing this walk when the junk hits the fan. Do they shrivel up and go away, or do you even know they're going through some persecution and tribulation? Difference of a servant of God, you can judge them by their fruits. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Uh-huh.
I in them and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, has loved them, as thou hast loved me.
If the world may know that the Father has sent Jesus and has loved us as he's loved them. What's perfecting love? The keeping of the commandments. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 24.
Yes, sir.
Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou loves me before the foundation of the world.
Now, our Messiah is asking our Heavenly Father that we see him and be with him, see his glory, be with him in the first resurrection. Not just disciples, but those of us that believe on Jesus through their words. He's asking our Heavenly Father to allow us to make that first resurrection. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me.
Uh-huh.
And I have declared unto them my name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
That the love wherewith that you have loved me, Father, may be in them, and I in them. The commandments perfect love, sisters and brothers. When you take hold of those commandments and you are truly striving to walk perfect to the best of your ability, you are in control of most of your actions. There's times you don't give it a thought, but you're in control of most of your actions, and your love covers a multitude of sins. Just walking into 7-Eleven at 7:30 in the morning where the guy's in a rush, they almost knocks you over with the door, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, man, I hope you have a nice day. And he goes, well, he stops at his tracks and goes, what? You just changed his day around. And God only knows the multitude of sins that you just covered by changing his whole spirit and countenance, by heaping coals of fire on his head, by loving on him, by treating him with meekness and humility. Let's continue. Psalm 101. Let's look at it, what happens when you're not walking according to God's grace and mercy. Because he's given you that grace and mercy because he loves you. Because he loves you and he wants to recover you. Because he is such perfect righteousness, He can't be around. He can't even come down here and look at you. He can't even hear your prayers. That's why you're going through Jesus. He's perfect righteousness. And it was determined that our Messiah would come and be that perfect sacrifice, that atoning sacrifice. But now what happens when you're not in his favor and his grace and his mercy, and you're not taking part in his love? Psalm 101, and pick it up at verse 3, brother. Go ahead.
I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me.
I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside.
A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person.
He will not know a wicked person. You're in the lake of fire. You're not living in the kingdom. Go ahead, brother.
Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer.
Whoso privily, that means privately, that means, you know, in secret, slandereth his neighbor. Well, that goes back to the question they asked Jesus. Well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus basically said, everybody. You got a priest looks the other way. You got a Levite looks the other way. So you got a descendant of Aaron looks one way. You got a Levite crosses the street looks the other way. You got a man that don't know the man that's beat up laying there bloody, takes him, shows mercy, compassion, takes care of him, even throws a few extra dollars so that I'm coming back this way. If he needs more, I'll take care of it when I come back. And he saves the man, and he has compassion and mercy, and he nurses him back to health. The neighbors, everybody, sisters and brothers. Your neighbor is your enemy, your friend, your sister, your brother, those laid in your bed at night. That's your neighbor. Go ahead and continue, brother.
My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me.
He that walketh in a perfect way. This book tells you everything. It tells you what happens when you fall short, what you need to do. It tells you what happens when you fall short and you can't put a finger on it. You need to maybe go to an elder and confess your sins and have him pray over you. Or maybe you need to pray and fast. And then it tells you, this book tells you everything to govern your life on a day-to-day basis. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight.
You better take heed to this, because this is talking about the kingdom. Go ahead, brother. One more verse.
Verse 8. I will utterly destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord.
You better take heed to this. Let's go to Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation 2, let's pick it up at verse 5, brother. Revelation 2 and verse 5, go ahead.
Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work.
See, that's all part of that perfect walk. What happens when you fall short? What you need to do, you need to repent, suffer the chastisement if you're being chastised by the Lord, and you need to get back to business. Go ahead, brother.
Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Except thou repent.
And repent means to turn from. Go ahead, brother.
But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the
Nicolaitans,
which I also hate.
So he doesn't hate. The Lord hates the wicked deeds of the Nicolaitans also. Go ahead.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Uh-huh.
To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
So the Lord is telling you, you better take a look at what's going on, man, because you're falling. You better repent and do your first works. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Because God's not going to live with anybody that doesn't love him just as much as he loves them. Let's go to Genesis, the sixth chapter. Genesis 6. Brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 9. 6 and 9. Go ahead. I'm sorry, 6 and 5. Genesis 6 and 5. We're going to read through 9. Genesis 6 and 5. When you get there, brother, go ahead.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of man is only evil continually. That's why we got to guard and lead our hearts, sisters and brothers. Go ahead, brother.
and repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
It repented the Lord. In other words, he was going to turn from that he had made man and was going to destroy man. It grieved him at his heart, sisters and brothers, because he created us because he wanted to love us and he wanted to live with us and dwell with us. He wants to be our friends. Go ahead, brother.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.
Uh-huh.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Go ahead.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
Now, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And we know Noah at one time got drunk, but his walk was perfect before God. Sisters and brothers, the Lord covers everything in his word, good and bad. Skip to 17 and continue, brother.
And behold, I, even I, bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die.
That's God's wrath if you're not abiding in his love. Let's go one other place, Numbers, the 15th chapter. Numbers, the 15th chapter. Numbers 15. Numbers 15.
You know, of all the first, you know, books, Numbers is not one of the ones that I can find.
Just remember, it's one of the first five books of the Bible.
Well, yeah, I know that.
There you go. Numbers 15. And brother, let's pick it up at verse 29. 15 and 29. Go ahead.
You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them.
One law for all, whether you're a physical Israelite or whether you've been adopted as a different shade of dirt than a physical Israelite. Go ahead, brother.
But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
So if you sin through ignorance, you have an atonement that you can make. At this particular time, it was animals. Now when you sin through ignorance, you take it to prayer to our Heavenly Father through our Messiah, Christ Jesus. But if you sin presumptuously, purposely, plan it out, you're going to be cut off from among the people, whether you're your physical Israelite or a stranger. And the Lord wants to make that point clear. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 30. Verse 31. Because he that despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him.
And here's that example. Go ahead.
And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks upon the Sabbath.
Now notice it was a man. They're not going to make a difference whether he was physical Israel, spiritual Israel. It's just a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Go ahead.
And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in a ward. Because it was not declared what should be done to him.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death.
The Lord told Moses, you got to put him to death. Go ahead.
All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp.
Because he broke the covenant. He broke the commandments. He wasn't prepared on the sixth day. He was out on the seventh day, a day of rest, where you are to do no work and you're supposed to have everything you need to keep the Sabbath already prepared, already gathered or whatever. Doesn't say what he was going to do. It just says he was out there gathering sticks. The Lord called that being not prepared for his Sabbath day and had this man killed because he broke the covenant. Because what is love to God? It's the keeping of the commandments, sisters and brothers. First, it was grace and mercy to give you the opportunity to perfect that love by keeping those commandments. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. 2 Thessalonians 1. Well, say that three times real fast. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And, brother, we're going to pick this up in verse 2. And we don't have much more. I know we'll go a little bit longer tonight than I normally do. We should be done by about quarter after or so. 2 Thessalonians 1. Pick it up in verse 2, brother. Go ahead.
Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is me, because that our faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other around us.
So Paul is thanking God always for these brethren in Thessalonica, as it is good, because that their faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of them toward each other aboundeth. It's all about that love, sisters and brothers. It's all about the love. I don't care where you convocate on a Sabbath day. If you got somebody that's kicking against the commandments and he's being a wise guy all the time and he's always going, oh, I'm just kidding, and he's always over there picking on people and everything else, after a while, you're going to pull the brother to the side. You're going to do what they call the Matthew 18 on him. You're going to approach him and say, listen, man, you're falling off the path. We need to talk to you. You're going to try to gain that brother back. Let continue, brother.
Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endured.
And they endured, and they endured because of the love that abounds toward each other. You can almost see that they do this with meekness and humility. Because Paul's not chastising them at all. He's commending them for their fruits of the Spirit. Go ahead, brother.
Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer.
Uh-huh.
Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
Uh-huh.
And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.
So he's telling a man, I know that you're over here and you're suffering this persecution and everything, but you know what? It's a righteous thing for you to have this tribulation that troubles you. And you need to just take a step back, man, and rest. Endure this thing. Rest with us, because at the appointed time, the Lord's going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And then what's he going to do? Go ahead, brother.
The flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And we should take comfort in that, sisters and brothers, that we don't have to avenge ourselves. And at that appointed time, these people that persecute you might be standing in front of your throne. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
And that might be your decision right there when you're playing the playback of their life and you say, no, this ain't good. Spirit, fire. Next. And that might be somebody you know standing in front of you that has persecuted you and everything else. But you're not taking vengeance now because you know there's an appointed time. Your time now is to try to recover that brother or sister with everything you got, and that goes against everything that's in our hearts, sisters and brothers. But when you work at that, that's how the love of God is perfected, because it's the keeping of his commandments. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because their testimony among you was believed in that day.
Because the testimony among you was believed in that day that you heard his voice. Let's go to Isaiah, the 13th chapter.
Wherefore also we pray. Oh, sorry.
Isaiah, the 13th chapter. That's okay. Isaiah 13. Our brother Jeremy wasn't feeling really good today, but he came and he's suffering through this so that he could read for us tonight. And some of us that teach and read on a regular basis, we know that that's just one of the things that we do. And for a young man to step up like that, I praise God in Jesus' name. Because I know that sometimes when I'm teaching and I'm under the weather, man, I feel like taking the day off. Sometimes I have to. There's a lot of times I feel like it, but I don't. So I'm commending this brother tonight. Isaiah 13 and verse 3. 13 and 3, brother, go ahead.
I've commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones from mine anger. Even them that rejoice in my highness.
And the Lord has sanctified ones that are his, that are saints, and he's got sanctified or set apart ones that are his just to do his bidding. Go ahead, brother.
The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle.
Uh-huh.
They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord. As the weapons of this
of his indignation to destroy the whole land.
Yes, sir.
Holy, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty.
How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. I don't want to see this day. I'm with Job. Hide me in the grave till your wrath is past. The book says that this is not a day you want to see the return of the Lord, because it's a day of darkness. It's a day of sadness. It's a day of destruction. Go ahead, brother.
Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt.
Yes, sir.
And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain, as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames.
Uh-huh.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to leave the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it.
God's wrath to come for those that will not take hold of his covenant. Let's go to Proverbs, the sixth chapter. Proverbs, the sixth chapter. The love of God is perfected by the keeping of the commandments. By the keeping of the commandments, by the taking hold of that covenant, sisters and brothers. Look at this. Proverbs, the sixth chapter. Proverbs 6. Look what the Lord has written here for those that won't take hold of his covenant. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, brother. Go ahead.
These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination.
Six things he hates, all seven are an abomination. Go ahead.
A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood.
That pride in being quick to go to wickedness. Go ahead.
A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief.
Always thinking how you can get ahead. No matter how you step on somebody, then you're quick to go carry that out. Go ahead, brother.
A false witness that speaketh.
A liar. Go ahead.
And he that soweth discord among brethren.
Especially someone that's sowing discord between the brethren. Go ahead. That's my second boo-boo for today. And I get so good with some of these scriptures. Man, they start feeling so good, I just want to keep reading them. Let's go to Nahum, the first chapter. These things are an abomination to God. He hates six of them. All seven are an abomination. An abomination. Not pleasing in his sight, sisters and brothers, far from it. Nahum, the first chapter. Nahum, the first chapter. I got the page number written down for this book and still can't find it. Nahum 1, and brother, let's pick it up at verse 2. We're going to read 2 and 3. Nahum 1 and verse 2. Go ahead.
God is jealous, and the Lord revenges.
God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. Go ahead.
The Lord revengeth and is furious.
And he revengeth and is furious. That's one P.O. God. Go ahead, brother.
The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies.
See, we're not really seeing these. I mean, words, they don't really tell you the meaning of the word. He will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. You know how the Lord told Israel to go out and make war? I want you to kill everything. I want you to kill old men, young men, babies, babies in the womb. I want you to kill it all. Everything that moves and that has a heartbeat and that breathes, I want you to kill it. He was raising Israel to be a man after his own heart. This is a God that is graceful and merciful, and he will give you beyond the shadow of a doubt. He'll give you all the rope in the world, but when he has his fill with you, he's going to kill you. He's going to destroy you. He's going to make you suffer. He's going to utterly cut you off. That's not pleasant, sisters and brothers. But look what the Lord is. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power.
He's slow to anger, though. He's slow to anger, and he's great in power. You fall short, oh, how's the Lord going to forgive me again? Get back up, man. You're breathing. You got life. You're a live dog. You're better than a dead lion. Throw yourself at his feet. Throw your mercy at him. Maybe he'll be merciful to you like he was to David instead of Saul. We don't know. All you can do is just have the right heart. And when you do fall short, respond in a godly way. Go ahead and finish that, brother.
The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet.
He will not at all acquit the wicked. He has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And this power is such that the clouds are the dust of his feet. Let's go to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Brother, let's pick this up at verse 15. 56 and 15. You're going to read two verses, brother. Go ahead.
For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire.
Uh-huh.
For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many.
The Lord's going to plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. And none of them, not one, will be a righteous man. Let's go to Joel, the third chapter. Joel, the third chapter. Or Joel, the third chapter. Joel 3. And brother, we're just going to read a couple verses. We're going to start this off in verse 10. Joel 3. And verse 10. It's 8:16, and I've got two more places, so I apologize again. I went a little bit longer, but that's me. Joel 3 and verse 10, brother, go ahead.
Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say I am strong.
Let the weak say I am strong. I want even the little country coming up here. I want them all gathered in the valley of Jehoshaphat, up by Jerusalem. I'm taking my kingdom. And I'm taking it by force, and I don't even want one of you little, tiny little, the country of Belize or whatever. I don't want one of you saying, oh, well, if I'd have been there, it'd have been different. I want all, even you weak people coming up, man, because I'm getting ready to show you my glory. And I'm getting ready to plead with all nations. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 11. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither, because thy mighty ones too. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord.
Uh-huh.
Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about.
Because that's where I'm going to sit and I'm going to judge everyone. Go ahead, brother.
Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great.
Yes, sir. This is talking about after tribulation and everything, when you got the whole world persecuting God's people. And following a false God. The whole world. At that point in time, you'll be able to turn on Good Morning America or the Today Show or whatever, and you'll be able to see that false prophet at the appointed time. And you're going to make that statue walk and talk, and he's going to have fire coming out from heaven and everything and declare himself to be God. And all the major news, the people will be there. It'll be a worldwide live event, just like the Pope just died. And you're going to see this. And then you're going to have that great tribulation. And all these people that the Lord is gathering, all these nations are all wicked. For 3.5 years, they've been persecuting the saints, everyone that they can get their hands on. And they think that they're serving God and everything's just fine. Boy, are they in for a surprise. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 14.
Yes, sir.
There's multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision.
The day of the Lord is near. That's what we're reading about here. Let's go to Revelation, the 14th chapter, and we've got one more place after this. Revelation 14. And I know that we come out of classes where we go long and we go an hour and a half, 2 hour lessons or whatever, but I am pretty much resolved to the fact that I don't need to go much more than an hour. At the most, an hour and a half. So I'm going to apologize again for going a little bit longer than I am convicted I need to do. But I hope that everyone is being edified. Revelation 14, and we'll pick it up at 12, brother. 14 and 12. Go ahead.
Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Go ahead, brother.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord henceforth. From henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.
That they may rest from their labors because their works do follow them. Rest from their labors. Rest from their persecution, from their serving of God, from their being a light. from being persecuted and being riddled, being made fun of, and all this other stuff, and some of them even being put to death and having bloodshed. They can rust from their labors. And all that meekness and humility and love and the fruits of the Spirit and all that we've been reading about, hopefully that's the works that do follow. Go ahead.
Verse 14. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and from their works do follow.
Yes, sir.
And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle.
Go ahead, brother.
And another angel came out of the temple, carrying a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe.
For the harvest of the earth is ripe. Got all these nations gathered together now. Take your kingdom back, Messiah, by force. Go ahead, brother.
And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle, and on the earth, from the earth was reaped. On the earth, and the earth was reaped.
Yes, sir.
And another angel came out of the temple, which is in the heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that hath the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle to gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.
Go ahead, brother.
And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God.
The great winepress of the wrath of God is death, and those grapes are humans. And the Lord's putting them into the winepress, and he's getting ready to kill them all. Go ahead, brother.
And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
Up to the horse's bridle. To the horse's bridle. That's 5-6 feet. The space of 1,600 furlongs. 5 to 6 feet of blood. That's a lot of blood, sisters and brothers. You got one man dies, you watch these murder mysteries or whatever on TV, 2020 or whatever, and they show the blood on a carpet where somebody had died and he'd been laying there. He had his head broke open, and all the blood in his body came out. And it doesn't look like nothing. It's a little puddle on the rug. Can you imagine 1,600 furlongs, 5.5 to 6 foot high of blood? A couple hundred thousand miles of blood, I believe, 5.5 to 6 foot high. And maybe somebody correct me, because I can't exactly remember what the 1,600 furlongs are, but we'll get to that here in a minute, because we've got one more place. Let's go back to John 3, and let's read this with some understanding. John, the third chapter. John, the third chapter. It's been a long time since I read that verse in Revelation. I'm going to go look it up. John 3. Can't remember what them furlongs were. John 3, ain't no shame in not remembering, sisters and brothers, especially when you're getting older, but I ain't going to blame it on that. John 3, and this will be it. We started off with John 3 and 16. Let's pick this up and read a few more verses here with some understanding now. John 3, and pick it up at 15, brother. Go ahead.
And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And this is talking about Jesus. Just like when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness when they were being bitten by snakes, he had that brass serpent. That was a shadow of pointing toward Jesus. That when they looked on that serpent, that they wouldn't die if they'd been bitten. When they looked at that serpent of brass. And then the Lord goes and he continues, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Go ahead.
You want me to read verse 16?
Yes, sir. Just read it through 21.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, hopefully, if we didn't understand the love of God, we understand what this verse 3 and 16 means. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. To believe on him will give you everlasting life. But belief turns into obedience. And those are those works that were created from the foundation of the world, that without doing those works, you don't have the fruits of a servant of God. And without those fruits of a servant of God, you don't have an opportunity back to the tree of life. And the only reason you got this whole opportunity is because of grace and mercy. When you sinned, our Heavenly Father didn't kill us. When we sinned, He gave us the opportunity to repent and change our walk to what is pleasing in His sight. Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 17.
Yes, sir.
For God so much has summoned the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Not to condemn the world, but to save it. Go ahead.
Verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already.
But he that believeth not is condemned already. Go ahead, brother.
Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
And this ain't talking about a particular name. This is talking about serving the God of the Bible. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because if you love the Lord, you're going to keep the works of the light, or you're going to be obedient to His word. Go ahead.
For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God.
That his deeds may be manifest and that they are wrought in God, because the love of God is perfected by the keeping of the commandments. So, sisters and brothers, I know I want to live in longer tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you on Sunday nights, and I hope that somebody got something from these scriptures. And then next week, we'll deal with 1 Corinthians 13, at least the first part of 1 Corinthians 13, the second part of love.
Amen. Amen, bruh. Ooh-wee. Great job reading, Jeremy. Welcome back, Carter. And, okay, all right. Well, I just want to say, man, that was a wonderful piece, man. And I didn't see no reason for you to apologize at all. Man, you know, the word of God itself is just wonderful, man. Huh?
I muted their line. He doesn't know that we can
talk this day. Oh, okay. Yeah, bro, I just want to say that was wonderful, man. I can see why you apologizing for something good, man. You know, you going over time. People spend 3 or 4 hours watching Lord of the Rings. You kidding me?
Or Game of Thrones.
Or Endgame, you know. You kidding me? Man, we needed every, man, what the Father put in your heart, we needed every last minute of that. Every last second, man. You kidding? That was awesome, bro. You tapped into one of my most favorite messages from the Most High, man, is how you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a priest. You don't even have to be an Israelite to be a servant. What do you mean? The brother that came and helped that man, he was a Samaritan, a priest pastor, a Levite pastor, that man that was robbed. And who picked him up? That Samaritan. And he took him. And he healed that man. He said, and he fed that man. He said, now who went down justified? And everybody had to say the Samaritan. He said, now you better do more than that.
So, man, you know, that's love, bro. Love just come out of you. It ain't, you know, sometimes we got to be taught. Don't get me wrong. You know, some of us have, like a pit bull, a Staffordshire Terrier is probably the most silliest, playful dog you'll ever get a hold of. But you have to teach that dog how to be mean. You have to teach them that. In fact, most terriers are playful and energetic. But you have to teach them how to be mean. And that's the same thing with this precept, brother. It's the same thing with this precept. We have to show each other how to love one another. But that right there, that Sumerian, sometimes those things are just innate. Sometimes it just come, and, you know, people just do things. Man, you got people that's in the middle of the world, in the worst part of the planet, out there trying to feed people that's hungry and administer medicine and stuff like that in huts and flea-ridden quarters and things like that, risking malaria and so forth. But they're out there because they love the creation. The love of God is just in them. They may not even believe in God, man. All they know is that the Father put it in them. They don't even know the Lord put it in them to be even helping people in the world like that. It's just a call. And then those of us that don't know how to love, man, we need brothers like yourself to remind us of it.
Amen.
And to teach us those things. We may have all this book, all this knowledge, and then turn around, man, and then the Father say, I never knew you, because we forgot about that contrite and humble spirit that he is, and that everything we about is offensive to him. No, bro, you ain't got to apologize for this one. And I, bro, when the book is open, whatever time you want to spend, I got the time to. I'm here. So, amen, amen, and amen. And praise God, the Father put this on your heart to put a series together on love. Amen. On love. You know how many counselors teaching how to love? Let me count. Okay. You know how many counselors teaching about the abomination making death? Okay, there you go. No, man, this here is what's the first principles, Jack. This is it. He said you can have all that. You can have prophecies. You can be about a miracle. You can do all that good stuff, man. But if you ain't got no love, you dead in the water. So amen to this precept. Amen to the spirit that the Father put in your heart to bring this thing forward, man. And amen to the spirit that the Father allowed you to put forth a series on this. I yield the mic, bro. Thank you.
I looked up while Brother Job was commenting. And a furlong is 220 yards, or an eighth of a mile. And Revelation 14 and 20 says, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And when you look it up in the Strong's, it says that it is a basically like a slang for infinity. It just means a bunch of blood, man, about 5.5-6 feet high, all over that Valley of Jehoshaphat. And I yield the mic on that. I said I was going to look that up because I couldn't quite remember. I remember somewhere someone in one of the classes saying like 200 yards by 200 yards or 200 miles by 200 miles or something like that. But a furlong is about an eighth of a mile.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's Megiddo is not a big place. It's like, it's not a really big place. It's not really, really that huge. But it's like two heavyweight fighters in a little bitty ring, and that's how it's going to go down.
Mm-hmm. You see? And that's exactly how it's going to, man, it's going to be close quarters combat. Hey, bro, got to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And is any hands up? Okay. Amen. Well, bro, any closing comments before we close out?
Hey, if anyone has no comments, no questions. Okay. And the only thing I have is God's will. We're going to go ahead and break down starting next Sunday night, 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to take our time. It's going to take 2, maybe 3 weeks, and we're going to open up the floor with each ingredient. We're going to be able to contribute. We're going to be able to talk about it. We're going to be able to discern and rightly divide, and we're going to be able to reason together next week. But we're going to do it controlled, as we did it once before a couple months ago. I don't even remember, something with the Sabbath or something we did. But we're going to actually do a short precept on each ingredient, a quick lesson, 5, 6 scriptures. Then we're going to talk about that ingredient of love, whether it's humility or guilelessness or unselfishness or whatever. And you're going to see that I'm going to be sharing this quite a bit throughout the week, because I want to see how many people we can get over there that want to talk about love. They want to deal with love. So with that, sisters and brothers, read the book. See you next Sunday, God willing. And with that, I yield the mic.
Amen. Well, once again, I want to thank Brother Paul and Brother Jeremy for bringing a wonderful, wonderful lesson. Again, the Fellowship of the Spirit. And thank you for fellowshipping in the spirit with us. So in Jesus' name. And you can hear our Brother Paul here every Sunday night at 7 o'clock p.m. And like you said, to kick off that work week, got to put something in that spirit to deal with the rest of this world. Come on with it. With that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible. Amen.
Read the book.
Read the book.
Read
your Bible.
Good luck. Great
to be here. Sounds of the Living Waters radio show. Sounds of the Living Waters. Sounds of the Living Waters. Sounds of the Living Waters.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living waters. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, radio show.